Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering Peaky Blinders Season 3, Episodes 1 and 2.
Yes. Yes, Season 3. I had forgotten which season this was. Like I said, I kind of like was
I knew the big thing that happened.
Well, I knew the big thing that happened, and then once I started to see the rest of the content, it's like I know the other big things that happened.
So I think I know too. Yeah, like the season finale, I think I know.
Oh yeah. In any case, so we have our usual caveats, and they include that there are probably gonna be spoilers. There will definitely be cursing. And there will be things to drink. What do you have to drink, Natalie?
I'm having an Absolut cocktail. It's called a Mango Mule. It has Absolut vodka in it. So, Russian.
Sure, a Moscow Mule, Mango Mule. I mean, it's arguable. I am having a Cure Royale. I actually bought Creme de Cassis for one of these other cocktails that I'm probably going to do for another Peaky Blinders episode. But that cocktail is called the Garrison, and the Garrison does not factor at all in these two episodes, so I didn't want to do that for this. There is champagne in these episodes, and so I thought, sure, let's do that. And I haven't had one in a long time, and it is tasty, and I'm happy. So let's get started.
So Season 3, Episode 1, we get a little update on the timeline. So in 1922, we see Tommy talking about loving Grace before he thought he was going to get shot, but he didn't. And how he is going to be commissioned by, or controlled, kind of, by Churchill with a new job. And in exchange for his life, essentially. 2 years later, it's 1924, him and Grace are getting married. We see the difference between, in the church, we see the difference between Grace's upper class family, which I didn't know she really had ties to anymore. And the loud Shelbys.
And Grace's family, they're all there in their cavalry uniforms, which is apparently pissing off the Shelbys.
Mm-hmm. There's a new woman who Polly doesn't like, and it's Arthur's wife, Linda. Mm. Children are seeing in the bleak midwinter, very appropriate.
Quite.
They act like we don't know who's under the veil. Like they gave Grace this thick, ugly purple veil. And
it's dark blue, but the dress is purple.
It's purple, but indigo. Let's go with indigo.
Indigo works.
And so it's a very dark indigo, and it's very thick. And it's and like she comes up like the abominable bride from Sherlock, like wow. And she comes up to the altar, he reveals her face, and I'm like, well, we already fucking knew it was Grace.
Well, the part of what was great is that they do have that kind of, like, almost surprise, I actually love you, you know, look in their eyes, which is nice to see, even though you also have intercut with this, that they have a house, and their two-year-old child.
one and a half, whatever. Yes.
Clearly, they've been living together.
Their house is called Arrow House or something. They have like a family portrait. It's a whole thing. The family is happy. At the reception, Tommy tells the Blinders the rules for the reception. No embarrassing Grace, no fucking fighting, and no cocaine.
I absolutely love this scene though, because he has Arthur gather all the Blinders into the kitchen, and they use this scene for PSAs for COVID, like no touching, no fucking touching people, and you know, whatever, that kind of thing. And it really just goes off very, very well. And then right at the end, some waiter kind of runs into Tommy. And Tommy pushes him and throws him to the floor. You hear, like, glass.
He's like, no fucking fighting. So their kid's name is Charles. Grace, they're in their bedroom right now. Grace talks to Tommy about how she's worried. She's sorry the men on her side of the family wore their uniforms. And she's also worried that he regrets marrying her with the way he's acting. And that she's thinking it's not just business that's making him act this way. It's the fact that he married her in the first place, or had to, felt like he had to. Tommy is just like, no, I do not regret it. I'm just scared, which is more vulnerable than we've ever seen him.
Yeah, he's being very honest with her, which I appreciate.
He won't tell her specifics about the business that's going on right this second, but he just tells her that he's scared of Arthur's speech, and they have sex. It's very cute. Arthur is nervous for his speech and is concerned that Tommy and Grace aren't at dinner yet. So, and Aiden is also super political now. It's giving Eloise season two. I don't love it. A guy goes up to Polly. A Russian guy comes up to Polly. Even though Polly was making eyes at this other guy across the table, this other guy, Russian guy, comes up to Polly. Arthur gets Tommy and Grace. he goes to their room and they have just finished up and they're like
getting ready. He's like, I didn't see anything.
Yeah, and he teases them a bit.
He's like, can I include it in my speech?
And she's like, not if you want to be fucking cut. And him being like, sorry, sister. And I'm like, that's really sweet. Like, I love seeing that dynamic. Yeah,
the family dynamic.
Because the family the family had known Grace for a while before they even started doing whatever they were doing. She works
for Arthur.
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
And the guy talking to Polly is a Russian refugee. Tommy has been working with the Russians, it becomes very clear. Lizzie talks to Michael and Arthur and accuses them of setting fire to her lover's restaurant that made her lover not come with her to the wedding. Okay. The boys claim it was for her own good and the guy wasn't trustworthy to be so close to a person high up in the company. The new company policy is no fraternizing with foreigners, which Tommy is blatantly not doing, but whatever. Well, fraternizing has many different connotations, but regardless.
Yeah.
He's
married now. He shouldn't be fraternizing.
He shouldn't be fraternizing with anybody.
Right.
Arthur does his speech, but goes a bit off script.
He's doing that, like the thing where John's like, are you repenting? I mean, he's trying to express himself, but he rambles. And so Tommy just basically cuts it off because he starts to ramble in the direction of, oh, their wedding had to be unconventional because basically they had a kid.
Also, apparently her husband, Grace's husband, killed himself.
Yeah.
Which, poor guy. Yeah. Like, yeah. What the fuck? Yeah, anyway, that was a random tidbit. I mean, I thought he just divorced her quietly, but no.
No, I knew he had died, but I couldn't remember all the circumstances. I thought she might have poisoned him.
Jesus Christ. Linda, Arthur's wife, is a very religious person, and she helped him see the love of God, Arthur see the love of God, and get him through his like addiction phase.
She thinks he's sober.
Oh yeah, he's not, but he's like more sober than he was before, to be clear.
Right, he's not doing drugs.
Yeah,
he's
not doing a lot of cocaine. He is drinking a little bit to quote unquote remind himself why he doesn't. Anyway,
sure.
Tommy goes to Arthur and tells him not to mention that Grace's husband killed himself because their family doesn't really know about that. Arthur gets upset and they run around the driveway, which is very funny.
It is funny.
And he hurts himself.
Yeah.
Arthur is now mostly sober. And Tommy says this really sweet thing of, you're my best man every fucking day. Mm-hmm. That's so fucking sweet. Anyway.
It's so true, though. I mean, mm-hmm. When it comes right down to it, he needs family. He needs Arthur probably more than anybody else from a
He says that his family is his greatest strength, whereas other people see it as a weakness. Mm-hmm. He sees it as his greatest strength.
Mm-hmm.
Polly gets a code name from the Russian refugee to meet with Tommy.
Yeah, it's like Constantine or something.
Yeah. Tommy has made a charity for the poor in Birmingham. Tommy meets with the Russian about a deal. I'm not going to lie, I zoned out during this part.
And I will say this, we skipped one thing that becomes important. So there's an argument. Liz is having an argument with John.
I already said that part.
About how she had been dating the Italian?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't say it was Italian, but
right,
she never
specified. Okay, so the fact that he's an Italian and that they have blown up his restaurant to keep Lizzie away from him.
Or him away
from Lizzie. And I think it's because there's some possible connection with Sabini. And so that becomes relevant later.
Yes, I already mentioned most of that, but yes, he is Italian.
Right, so Tommy tells Arthur that the Russians have made contact and they kind of need to have a plan to protect the family since they are present at the wedding. He doesn't want Linda to know everything about being Arthur's wife. He's kind of, he basically like, yeah, you don't have to tell her everything. Johnny Dogs is there. There's like going to be a bunch of like weird contests between the Blinders and Grace's family. And so one of them involves racing horses. And of course, because those guys, the Grace's family are cavalry, they have like their own thoughts, but apparently Johnny Dogs has fixed the race because he gave the horse that they're going to bet on morphine, and they have this discussion about how all of the proceeds of any betting from that night have to go to the Shelby Foundation charity. The Russian then goes to talk to Tommy, and he's basically is saying, hey, you know, we need to make this exchange. You need to get us whatever the stuff is, because it's still somewhat unclear what that is. And you know, that there is somebody that he needs to talk to that's going to be coming that night. Polly and Grace, meanwhile, are basically exchanging threats. They're both looking in the mirror and talking about, oh, and Polly's like, oh, you look lovely. And Grace is like, yeah, I understand what's going on here. And
if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything.
Right. And Grace is like, look, I know about business stuff. And she kind of, you know, like acts like she knows more than she does. And Polly basically says, oh, did you know, like, the business is going down right now? And Grace is like, I do now. Thank you for letting me know.
Well, thanks for the tip.
Then there is the wedding dance between Grace and Tommy, which actually is quite sweet. And they both make promises. She is like, look, I want you to promise to keep us safe. And he's like, I promise to keep you safe.
It's the first time also they both admit that they love each other.
Yeah.
Like in just in those plain words of like, I love you. And he says, I love you too.
Yeah.
It's the first time
that we've seen it. Yeah. Then Tommy gets has to go out to the gatehouse, and there is the copper that had been working for the inspector is there with a person he introduces as the Grand Duchess. She's Russian, Tatiana of Tbilisi, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy points out to her, he's like, look, I don't want to do any exchange with you because the guy that's up at the house that you sent gave the wrong name, like he gave the wrong code word, and you know, you all show up here and you want to do business on my wedding day, and you need to
very godfather.
Yes, very. You come to me on the day of my wedding.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah. And you know, where's the money? Give me the money. And she's trying to do a power play, but he's not letting her. And so she just says like, "Oh, the money's in the car," and Finn goes to get the money. The other guy who was interested in Polly hits on Polly, and he is an artist and says she's beautiful and wants to paint her, blah, blah, blah. But Polly, at this point, because she's already been talked to by this Russian person, is a little more cautious than she might be in other circumstances.
Mm-hmm. It's like, is this a business deal or what?
Mm-hmm.
Which is fair.
Mm-hmm.
So Arthur is upset with Tommy for dealing with tanks.
Yeah, that's what the Russian business is.
Yeah, instead of just automobiles, which he's saying, he's building tanks for the Russians.
Right, and they've also realized that the guy who made contact with Polly, the guy who was in the house who also made contact with Tommy, has to be a communist, because that comes up in the conversation that Tommy has with the Grand Duchess, which is that he was warned by Churchill that if somebody gives the wrong code name, that person is clearly a communist, because they are trying to do a deal with the displaced royalty from Russia. The white Russians, like, is what they say. Oh, I need to have a white Russian this season. Hey.
Yeah, well, there we go.
So
they are making tons of money off of it. And after that business is done, Tommy plans to get back to business as usual, as he always does. Mm-hmm. Arthur is dealing with stuff. I don't know what that note means. again, Ada talks to the Russian refugee about being communist, and she's like, yeah, I'm communist. So I'm like, fuck off, Ada.
And he's clearly communist. Like, in the conversation he's having with her, it's like, how dumb are you? If you're supposed to be like undercover, I'm just shitty and whatever.
I can't. It's so stupid.
He's a dumbass.
So Arthur comes into the room and says, hey, somebody's here to see you, Russian guy.
And he's let's go out by the stable.
Because it was a woman, and obviously he thinks it's Tatiana.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go down a hallway, and Arthur hits him in the head.
Well, the guy starts asking, like, hey, can I go to the laboratory? No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so
the guy realizes it's on.
The Blinders are also having a fight club outside. And also, Michael's having sex with that girl. Also, Michael, in the meantime, has been, like, fucking with this girl. And, like, she's giving her coke. And she... I felt like she was Madeline Alsop from Down Abbey, but she gives that vibe.
She does give that vibe.
It's not her, but it's very similar.
Yeah.
I think it's her voice. Either way. So he's fucking her, I guess.
John's fighting a cavalry guy outside.
Mm-hmm. And Arthur kills the Russian guy and feels guilty because his wife wouldn't like that, would she? Grace and Tommy relax and they kind of just watch the rest of the people fight in their fight club outside. Weird.
This was like a match to like get all the anxiety between both sides out of their system. So like, you know, whoever wins this is kind of gonna win for their side, and that'll be the end of any antagonism, I guess.
How that works.
Yeah.
The guy from before knocks on Polly's door with champagne and
artist guy.
And she takes the other guy's dead, so yeah. And she takes the champagne and closes the door. This actually reminds me of a situation that I had my freshman year of college where a guy, he was Snapchatting with me, and he's like, I have, like, I think it was Starburst. Uh-huh. And he knocked on my door, and I just took the Starburst and closed the door.
Yeah, way to pick up on the vibes. Well done. This is the girl who wants a date.
Okay. They were good Starburst. Anyway. Linda says stuff that makes Arthur feel guilty about what he did, and she has him repent.
Talks about is, you know, God loves you all the time. He knows like what's going on in your heart. You're still the same Arthur that you were at the beginning of the evening. Isn't that nice to know? And Arthur's like, no, I'm not really, but he doesn't want to say it, so he's feeling guilty. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The baby cock blocks Tommy and Grace. Johnny Dogs and the Blinders burn and bury the body of the Russian refugee. The family returns to Small Heath, Birmingham, to go back to work. Tommy and Polly put the money in a comically large safe.
There's comically large amounts of money in there, too.
True.
And Polly basically says to Tommy, like, we've got all this money. Why are you going to gamble us away on one single robbery? And Tommy's like, I'm a gambler. That ends the episode. What were your best parts?
Tommy being vulnerable. It's a nice change. And I really like that Grace kind of brings out that side of him. Like him even having the conversation with the boys of like, obviously I think that would be something he would do anyway, like no fucking fighting, but it's like, especially don't embarrass Grace in front of her family, like yeah. Do not do that, do not fuck with me today.
Yeah.
And Tommy and Grace in general are adorable, and the fact that he's a little bit more honest with her than he has been with any other partner is impressive.
Arthur, I find him
very compelling, and him trying to kind of course correct a little bit of like, okay, I shouldn't be doing so much coke. I shouldn't be doing so much drinking.
I shouldn't be killing so many people.
Yeah, maybe I should, I don't know, scale it back a bit. And Polly for taking the champagne and closing the door.
Yeah, no, I like this a lot in the first episode. I love Tommy and Grace and both together and separately. I loved Polly, you know, just the whole, hey, some guy's interested in me. No, yes, no. You know, that whole thing, I think, is
we've all been there.
and I really think Arthur's arc in this episode is pretty great. So what were your worst parts?
The Russian, Linda, and Ada.
Yeah, I've got the Russian, the Grand Duchess, and Linda.
Ada's just annoying.
Yeah, she's, yeah. So what grade did you give this episode?
B+?
I give it an A-. I think I just like weddings.
I think so. I like wedding episodes anyway. So yeah, A- for me, I suppose.
Yeah, I like
that. Season 3, episode 2. I'm also sorry for the like background noise because
there's a thunderstorm.
Big thunderstorms coming through right now. We can't control the weather. Mm-hmm. Anyway, season 3, episode 2, Tommy goes to Lanchester Motor Company. And explains to the boss about an incident that killed one of his workers. I don't care.
He's basically threatening him. Like, look, this thing happened to your worker and it could happen to you.
Yeah, he wants the keys to Basics. He gives it to them. And then,
because Basix has the things that no one knows about, and so Tommy gets the keys to that, and he knows what's in there now, which is there are some vehicles, armored vehicles in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, he then goes to meet a priest about the charity, and the priest turns out to be Patty Considine, who, if you don't know him, he's an actor and he's been in a bunch of things.
Oh yeah,
he's an actor. Most recently, he's
House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon, and gave an amazing performance in season one. Yeah.
House of the Dragon isn't that great,
but Matt Smith and Patty Considine are both pretty
excellent. I agree with that. The prosthetics they had him in were very creepy.
But it's really well done. In any case, so Patty Considine is this kind of menacing priest, and they talk about how he's connected to a bunch of people. That are like MPs and things like that are political people that will help them have this front for this Russian thing. And that front is going to be the charity. And so there are definitely some people that they want to get involved to protect the money and the exchanges going on. Apparently, he is also knowledgeable about the fact that they are getting these tanks for the Russians. And that Winston Churchill is involved in it. So when Tommy actually reveals, like, hey, I know there are 27 tanks, then because the priest is kind of like, you know, so what are the people that you wanted to meet with aren't going to be here because you're just this lonely nobody. And when Tommy points out that he's done the homework that he needed to do, he's like, yeah, now you have a meeting today. At the Ritz in London, you better get the military and get down there. They have this very, very stupid, it cuts to a stupid slow walk. And I generally like slow walks on this show, but it's very dumb the way they do it here. There's a walk with John, Arthur, Finn, and the other boy.
You get a glimpse at Wilderness House, which is the home of a knockoff Russian Reginald Targreaves.
That's before. Oh, okay.
And he's the one who has the appointment with Tommy about the automobiles. Mm-hmm. Then the blinders meet with Vincenzi Gengretta. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry to every Italian. I'm so sorry about that accent.
Gengretta's got the Birmingham-based Sabini people, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, who is upset that Tommy isn't at the meeting. He wants an explanation for why the restaurant, why his son's restaurant was burned down to keep his son from going to the wedding with Lizzie. He can date whoever the fuck he wants. Shangretta also sides with Sabini in the end, and hates the blinders for acting the way they're acting. I mean, it's fair enough. If you burn down my son's restaurant. And just because he was dating one of your employees, like, are you kidding me? That's stupid. And so Tommy then goes to Ada's library for some books on the Russian Revolution. Ada wants to see the Russian guy, but he tells her that won't be possible because he's fully fucking dead.
And she knows. She's like, I saw John with a gun, and I saw Arthur doing this, and she's basically just fishing.
Then he embarrasses her loudly in the library, because that's what brothers do. Mm-hmm. Polly doesn't want to do anything about Shangretta's son, saying he's going to kill Polly. Well, Polly doesn't want John to do anything about Shangretta's son, saying that John's going to kill him. He's going to kill John.
Right.
So what was that note? What was that?
I don't know. So Arthur has sent a message via Polly saying, hey, look, John, you need to apologize. And Polly's like, well, at least you need to compromise. You need to do something as a compromise so that this doesn't get worse. Because what she points out is like, look, we run this town and we don't want rebellions. And if we treat people better, there will be fewer rebellions. That is her theory.
That's true. Tommy pays off Mr. Romanov's debts
at the
Ritz. Romanov talks about his niece Tatiana, who we've already met,
the granddaughter.
Tommy pokes holes in the guy's story and is like, "You're not actually a Romanov, bro. And also, I paid off your debts here, so you need to get your shit in line about if you're actually going to be able to pay me.
Because you promised me 40,000, then I've only gotten 10.
Yeah, so. No, that's not going to work. Anyway, when Tommy goes back to the office, the girl, Michael Scrooge's dad, makes cars and approaches Tommy with an issue. Lead to anything.
It doesn't lead to anything other than we see the girl again and Michael's there.
Yeah.
Don't care.
There is a family meeting, and Tommy tells John about the Italians threatening John's life and how he's hearing all these things. Tommy is prideful and decides to go on the offensive and take their pubs, and the Italians wanted, because the Italians wanted Danny dead, now they want John dead, and they're not going to stop.
Right. He's like, no, we can't tolerate any back talk, basically.
He also knows that their phones are being monitored. Mr. Romanoff is whipped. He is whipped by doesn't like Tommy for questioning the authenticity of their sapphires that they were going to pay him with.
We failed to point out that at this meeting with Mr. Romanoff, or whatever his title is, he says, hey, we can make good with this because we have all these jewels that we smuggled into the country. Here's a sapphire.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Grace tells Tommy how excited she is about the upcoming charity dinner she's planning. He puts the sapphire necklace on Grace's neck, and she's just like, wear this to the dinner. And she's just like, okay. Linda gives Arthur a curfew for him going out. It's like 10 o'clock. And he's like, okay. The blinders raid the pubs. Arthur goes home instead of to the garrison. And John gets really upset about it for no reason. He's like, fuck you, Arthur. And I was like, bro, he just didn't want to go to the pub that one night. Are you okay? Anyway.
John's got some stuff going on.
He's acting weird. Shangri-La is upset about his son getting...
That's later.
That is later.
I don't know.
Sorry about that. God.
So part of what has happened here that and part of what you skipped is Shangri-La gone to the laundry, and John is hiding in the clothing and comes out and beats him up and slices his face, as Peaky Blinders do. He's yelling and says, stay away from Lizzie by order of the Peaky fucking Blinders.
Yeah, now you're getting all defensive of Lizzie.
Right,
okay.
And Michael is the one who then tells Tommy about it, and that's why they have a family meeting. Yes. Talking about what John did.
I don't know how I missed that, but either way, Shangri-La is upset about his son and his pups getting attacked and has called someone in. Grace and Tommy show Charles, their son, the stables for some reason. But it's very cute. Tommy interrupts Esme and John having sex because there are tons of cops outside in the office. It's Scotland Yard, and apparently Esme's pregnant. Okay.
She was holding a baby at the wedding, so poor thing.
She's pregnant again.
Again.
And John's like, hey, she's pregnant. I'm like, okay.
Tommy's like, look at Scotland Yard. We can't buck this too much. So he gets arrested. The priest shows up at the jail to talk to him about basically, exerting, hey, we can get you arrested anytime we feel like, because we've got Scotland Yard on our side. And
the priest shows up,
you only have the Birmingham police. And so he brings a Doberman pincher with him, which is weird. Tommy's like, oh, it's a dog. How nice. I can charm dogs. And if I can't charm the dog, I can kill them with my bare hands because I know how to do that. I bet you don't. And so he starts speaking Gaelic and stuff to the dog. And the dog's clearly listening more to Tommy than to the priest.
Maybe I need to learn Gaelic. The priest threatens Ada because he sees her as a security breach. And the priest starts threatening Charles, Tommy's son, and says something was put under his pillow. And Tommy, when he's let out, goes immediately to his son's bed and sees that the R.I.P. Charles
on the back of a business card.
On the back of a business card is underneath the poor kid's pillow. And so that's not good.
Yeah.
Polly, the guy, The guy visits Polly, the artist guy does, and she is having him paint her in a formal dress, and he wants it to be free, but Polly doesn't. It's all
a thing. It's a pink, beautiful dress that apparently her mother stole from a house she was cleaning.
Love that for her.
Yeah.
Grace gets ready for the charity dinner with the necklace. It's a very big, very pretty necklace. Grace realizes, like, when they get to the dinner and they're, like, talking, she realizes that most of the people at the party work with Tommy.
Or how do all these people know Tommy? It's like,
oh. The priest, his name is John Hughes, very funny, shows up with one of the MPs that he knows, and Tommy talks to the priest about the plan. The Russians apparently want to inspect the vehicles, and Tatiana is now required to visit the factory to inspect them the next day, which
Tommy's
is
like, no.
Grace introduces Tommy to Tatiana, even though, of course, they've already met. Grace didn't know that, but now she does know
and
that they know each other.
Happy.
And she's not happy, and I do not blame her.
Right, because Tatiana's face is gorgeous.
Okay, she is. Grace is concerned about Tommy knowing all of these people. Tommy tells Tatiana that going to the factory is a mistake. And then Tatiana's like, well, that sapphire necklace Grace is wearing, it was cursed by a fucking gypsy.
And she also points out, like, I'm supposed to seduce you to get this done. And I would.
But with a beautiful wife like that, it will be hard.
And she's like, but I would seduce you for the cause.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, no, that necklace, cursed. It's like, okay. And Tommy goes immediately, because of course he believes in this stuff.
Yeah.
He goes immediately to Grace and is like, hey, take the necklace off. Just real quick for me.
I love
take
you. The necklace
off. I love you. I need you. Please take the necklace off. And she's just like, Tommy, what are you doing? Like, are you
okay?
I love you too. It's fine. They kiss and she's like, I'm just gonna go into the music hall or the dining hall or whatever they're doing. And he's just like, okay, yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Then somebody, I'm sorry to sound so chipper, someone comes up yelling for Angel, which I think is Changreta's son's name.
Yes.
He shoots Grace in the shoulder and she dies in Tommy's arms while the boys kill the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you guys didn't get too attached to Grace like I did.
Yeah, no, it's hard not to, because again, it is the
first season in particular.
Is the purest relationship Tommy has with anyone.
True.
And you know, it's not like it's a super healthy relationship to begin with, but it's
well, is it a healthy relationship? Not necessarily, but for they functioned correctly.
Right. They were honest about
the
big
stuff
eventually.
They always put each other first.
Yeah.
And so it's better than most of the relationships either of them had.
Yeah. It's very sad. So what are your best parts of this episode?
Polly, Tommy and Grace, Polly's guy, and costumes.
Oh yeah, I didn't put costumes. I totally should have.
Polly's dress is gorgeous. And so is Grace.
And so is Grace's. Tommy, I think, is great. I think John's actually great in this episode. I know that he's doing
kind of
bad
stupid.
Stuff. He's doing bad stuff, but he's doing it much like Arthur in the previous episode. He does it like in a big way. If he's going to do it, he's doing it right. Grace, I really kind of love her in this episode. And I kind of love, I do love Polly in this, although she's somewhat limited. So what were your worst parts?
Grace's death. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I can understand if the actress was, like, unavailable or whatever the deal was. And maybe that is part of it. But the fact that they knew they were going to kill off Grace in the second episode of the season. Like, just to put in perspective, she was in every episode in season 1 to 6 episodes. Then she was in... Well,
she
made some random, she made some random appearances and flashbacks in the first 3 episodes of season 2. Then she actually shows up in person for the last 3 episodes of season 2. And that's kind of forced and like fast and whatever. I think that's another thing that I should have mentioned about this season 2 wrap up last episode of like, I felt the pacing was off. And so... And then she's in the first 2 episodes of this season and she's fucking dead. And the fact that they went through the trouble of like showing the wedding and all that stuff, it's adorable. But this is more, I feel, of a season finale event of like, oh yeah, Grace fucking dies. Like they're acting like it's not that big of a deal. They're just like, oh
it's a big deal. It's like the biggest deal for the rest of Peaky Blinders.
It is a huge fucking deal, but I kind of wish that they used it more as a mid-season finale or like a season finale or something like that, where Whereas when they have it just randomly in episode two, and they didn't even like give her much of a character arc other than Tommy, you work too hard. It's like, that's it. Like, Grace is better than that. And well, Grace has more character than that.
Well, she has a little bit of taunting Polly.
A little bit, but it's, I just feel disappointed that we didn't get more time with Grace. But obviously that's what we're supposed to. Yeah, what the fuck was that? I would love to have seen them go to New York and do whatever the fuck they did in New York, have the baby. Like, again, the fact that they have this 2-year time, actually, I'll save this rant for after we're done with worst parts. Mm-hmm. The priest, Mr. Romanoff, John being dumb, and Tatiana.
Yeah, so my worst were priests, all of the Russians, all of the Italians, all of that was bad. Mm-hmm. So what grade did you give this episode?
B minus.
No.
Maybe a B plus.
I gave it an A minus. I think it might, maybe it's a B plus, but it's a good episode from a structural standpoint. I think it's well constructed.
I'm pissed.
I know, because you love Grace. That's not really a reason to like.
I know, it's just, I think it's a shame, and obviously they're doing this for a reason, but obviously they're
give really it a B plus. There, okay. Does that make you happy?
Sure. So the fact that there is a 2-year time jump makes a lot of sense because it took two years for them to do production. Mm-hmm. And obviously Finn is older by 2 years. Like, it doesn't really show as much.
In that kitchen scene, he's eating like a grown boy.
Yeah.
He's just like snatching things off of trees and stuff. It's cute.
And I find it interesting. It's find it depressing that we missed out on like the pop. Let me put it this way. They skipped out on the major beats of their relationship before the wedding. Mm-hmm. Like, they missed out on the, oh, you have the opportunity for a big climax moment of her water breaking and her having to deliver the baby, like an Ada situation.
Yeah, or the proposal.
Or them committing suicide. It's so offhanded. It feels like we've missed a whole season.
Here's the thing. I honestly think that either Tommy or Grace had something to do with that guy dying. This is my opinion.
I feel like Tommy would have talked to Arthur about that, but either way. No. I think that going into this season, it feels like we've missed a whole season. And I don't love that feeling. Like, the whole, like, oh, yeah, Linda's here. It's like, who the fuck is Linda? Why do I fucking care? Yeah, like, I would have loved to see, like, her in... How the fuck did they meet? Like, I'm so curious. Like, I would love to see that. I would love to see, I don't know, again, Esme and John's relationship, lack thereof. And, like, the whole Lizzie thing and, like, her getting into the Italians. Again... I had to go back a couple of times to rewatch a scene just to make sure I heard things correctly of, like, especially like the Lizzie John Arthur scene where she's laying out the groundwork of the Italian thing, right. Of like, I feel like I've missed a whole fucking season of like, oh yeah, no, I have this lover who's Italian and you guys are protective over me now and blah blah blah, and I'm just like, okay, well, I feel like I've just missed out on a lot. And
well, I kind of would have found some of that boring. So I'm glad that this show moves as quickly as it does on some level. I think what you really are upset about is not seeing more Grace and Tommy, and yes. I understand that. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying that that's the way the cookie crumbles, and that is
the what cookie we have crumbles, to... and it sucks.
It does. It does. But there is a lot more season 3 to come, and I remember some parts, but some of them I think is actually pretty good. So
I always like mix up the season finales.
So I'm looking forward, at least I am, looking forward to sharing it with you. We hope that you join us. And
cheers.